Thank you, Isabel. That's beautiful. Well, good morning. It's great to be here Sunday morning, be in God's house. It's great to see a lot of friendly faces and familiar faces, and it's good to have some people that have been with us here lately. Laverne, it's great to have you here. Good to see you. And Justin, good to see you. And Kelly is over in Virginia, is that right?
South Carolina.
South Carolina. She's got a 3-month, is it 3 months?
Yeah.
A training with the military for her position, the chaplain that she's pursuing. So he's going to be a bachelor for a little while, and so keep him in your prayers. And pray that he misses her, but not too much, right? So he's got Isaac to take care of, and I'm guessing you'll probably be out at your folks' place a little bit more often. That's exactly what I would do too. So good to see you here this morning. Well, good news. We are finishing up Ephesians today. So it's been a wonderful journey through Ephesians that we've had this year, and so today we're going to finish that up, and if you'll stand, we will do our scripture reading for this morning out of Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Through the rest of the chapter. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may be open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, but that you also may know my affairs and how I am doing. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs and that he may comfort your hearts. Peace to the brethren and love with faith from God and the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all of those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. You may be seated. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word. So the message this morning is titled, Are You Ready for Battle? And as a throwback to the old WWF, I was going to say, Are You Ready to Rumble? But just didn't know how many quite people would be able to get there. So, are you ready for battle? There is a battle, and we are all in it. Bev this morning said there's a battle going on in her house. And the reality is there is a battle going on in all of our homes. If the word of the Lord is there, I can guarantee there is a battle going on. Paul starts off this passage, finally, my brethren. And some of you are thinking, finally, we're done with Ephesians after today. But that's not the kind of the finally that he's talking about. It's more like thinking about all that we've gotten through in this book, don't forget this important part. Listen well, because this is important. He says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You know, as Christians, so often we try to live life as easily as possible. We try to live life with as little friction as possible. Paul is saying, be strong in the power of God. Don't be afraid to stand up for what's right. Don't be afraid to point out wrongdoing that's going on. Stand for God. So, my first point, whenever you're getting ready for a battle, the first question is, who are we fighting? Who are we fighting? And this is a spiritual battle, spiritual warfare. Paul says we've got to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We need to put on the armor of God so that we can stand up against the wiles of the devil. Because the devil is pursuing you. He is pursuing your family. He is pursuing your friends. You know, it's something that stuck with me from Dwight's message with us a few months ago. And he said that whatever is in your life that is Christ-like, Satan will come after it. If you're living a life of pleasure, if you're living a life of all those things that we talked about in Sunday school this morning, Satan is okay with you. You can do whatever you want, and he's not even going to bother you. But you start living the way that God has designed for you to live. You start sharing your faith with others, and I can guarantee Satan will come and attack you, because he does not want to see you living your life the way Christ is designed. He is against God. He is against everything of God. So, if we're going to be productive Christians, we must get prepared. And part of that is being ready and understanding the spiritual warfare that we are in. You know, it's when somebody's fighting you, it's good to know that you're being fought against. So we don't want to go into this blindly. 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." So that is our mandate. That is our mantra. That is what we are trying to accomplish. We walk in the flesh. We're human. We're here on this earth. Okay? But our goal is to bring everything in our lives, everything in our surroundings, under the knowledge of God, under submission to God, and into the obedience of Christ. Now, being a guy playing war ever since I was a little kid, we need to know, what do we have to fight with? Do we have some big tanks, helicopters, airplanes? What are we going to fight this war with? And Paul lays that out for us. He says, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So Paul is giving us a picture of a Roman soldier ready for war. And he's going to give us a spiritual application to all of these pieces. First of all, we have the belt of truth. Now, what does a belt do? How is a belt all that important when it comes to your spiritual weapons? You know, it's like, you know, when I was a kid playing war, we never worried much about a belt. We were worried about the machine guns, we were worried about the bow and arrow, all that sort of stuff. But the belt holds everything together. A belt holds up our clothes and our armor, and it frees up our hands. And the Bible says that truth, which is supposed to be our belt, also frees us. John 8:32 says, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Proverbs 20:17 says, "Bread gained by deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth will be filled with gravel." See, when we take on truth in our lives, it is so important because, you know, it's one of those tangled webs, right? The lies are a tangled web, and the easiest version to remember is the true one. Because you start lying, and then you got to remember who you lied to, and you got to remember what you told them, and how you changed the story, and pretty soon you're trapped in a web of lies. The easiest, the most freeing thing is to tell the truth, even when you're wrong. Colossians 2:8 says, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ." We need to put on the belt of truth that everything will be attached to. Everything will be established in. And we first must be truth seekers. Before I go on, though, I want to step back and take a look at this whole armor thing, because I think a lot of times in our Christian life, we've seen a lot of people misapply this whole idea of the armor of God. Put on the armor of God. What does that mean, put on the armor? I've seen people pray, and they've prayed, "I'm putting on the belt of truth, Lord, and I'm putting on the breastplate of righteousness," and go through the different pieces that way. And there's nothing wrong with that. But that's not really what Paul is saying. He's not saying spiritually or metaphysically have this idea of putting this on, although that's a great reminder. You could also even do that in the morning as you're putting on your clothes, right? Your belt. Hey, this is the belt of truth. But what is Paul getting at? Is there some metaphysical armor that we're supposed to always be wearing? No. The idea is that we're putting truth in our lives. We're putting on the belt of truth means I am going to be truthful in all that I do. The breastplate of righteousness is I am going to live a righteous life. So this armor isn't just something that we put on with the eye or that we think about, but it's something that we do in our lives. So when we put on the belt of truth and we actually are truthful in our lives, that will free us up because we don't no longer have to remember who we were lying to. The other thing that a belt does is it holds the weapons ready for battle. It holds the sword. It holds the hatchet. It holds the different other weapons that we need in our battle. And so, truth, the Word of God, which is our sword, and we'll get to that in a minute, but the Word of God is established in truth. That's why it's so powerful. We see in John 17:17, it says, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." Psalms 119:160 says, "The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever." In John 16, it says, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you the things to come." And finally, John 4 says, "God is spirit, And those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. So we see that not only is truth in our lives going to help us, but we also see that our sword that we're going to use against the devil is also established in our belt of truth. And then if the Word of God was not established in truth, it would not be worth much. Because something that is changing from one day to the next, something that you can't depend on, will not be very valuable. But the Word of the Lord, our Savior, the Word of God, is true. It is trustworthy. And so, thus we put on the belt of truth. Next thing we look at is the breastplate of righteousness. Proverbs 13:6 says, "Righteousness guards him whose way is blameless, but wickedness overthrows the sinner." When we live a righteous life, it will guard us against trouble. Philippians 1:10 and 11 says, "That you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God." You see, when Paul says, put on the breastplate of righteousness, we're looking around saying, I don't have one of those. Right? God said, all of your righteous deeds are as filthy rags to me. You don't have anything when we're adding up, you know, all of your righteousness. So we look around and say, I might need one of those. And thank the Lord that he provided that for us. Christ came and died, and he became our righteousness. Proverbs 2 says, "My son," in verse 5, it says, "My son, if you receive my words and you treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment, and you lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up wisdom for the upright, and he is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the path of the justice, and he preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path." So when we look for understanding, when we search out wisdom, then it says we will understand righteousness. Then we will understand justice. And we will understand that God is the one who establishes us. The breastplate protects the vital organs. And God is the one who lifts us up. He is our defender. But he defends those whose way is right. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. So we must put on the breastplate of righteousness, knowing that, one, we are putting on Christ's righteousness, but two, that as we live out and we work out our own salvation, we work to bring righteousness into our own lives, then we will see that God is indeed protecting us. Isaiah 59 also really sums this up very well. And this is actually God speaking about himself. It says, he, being God, saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation for him, and his own righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with a zeal of cloak. Now, Christ has his own righteousness, and he put that on as an illustration. He's showing us that he wears this righteousness. But we also put on Christ's righteousness as our protector as well. The next weapon we have is the shoes of readiness to share the gospel. Different versions say it different ways. Some versions will say that it's the New King James says. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Others just say being ready or having the readiness of the gospel, something like that. But what it means is something on your feet, which we now today put shoes. Back then in battle, they would put this kind of a sandal that had leather and iron on. But shoes of readiness to share the gospel. The idea is that we're ready, we've studied up, we're ready to share the gospel. And why are shoes so important? Well, obviously when you're walking, you don't want to step on something that would hurt you. But there's another aspect to this, and for help in explaining this, I recruited this website called Fly Lady. Have you guys ever heard of Fly Lady? Well, if you haven't, you should. It's really good. It's helpful for house cleaning, actually. The Fly Lady is a lady that teaches you to always shine your kitchen sink and different things, okay? So, anymore, I'm not going to put too much of a plug for her, but it's a good thing. She's a Christian lady. Go on there, and she'll teach you how to clean your house. Anyway, one of the first things when you're getting started in the Fly Lady group, one of the first things she teaches you is always put on your shoes. Always put on your shoes. And she says this in explaining that. Since starting this group, I have continually harped on putting your shoes on your feet each morning. I want you to do this, and you are not the exception to the rule, and here's why. Several years ago, I worked for a direct sales cosmetics company. One main rule for that company was that you could not make a single phone call in the morning unless you were totally dressed. And I mean really dressed, all the way to dress shoes. The reason behind this duty was that you act differently when you have clothes and shoes on. You are more professional. The customer can tell when you don't feel good about the way you look, even when you think you do. So if getting dressed makes that big of an impression on someone that can't even see you, what is going to happen to those who can see you, mainly yourself? Putting shoes on your feet that lace up are better than slip-ons or sandals because they are harder to take off. Instead of kicking your shoes off for a quick snooze on the couch, you actually have to go through a bit more trouble to get them off. Maybe in that short instant you will realize that there is something more that you can do. With shoes on those feet of yours, your mind says, okay, it's time to get to work. You have no excuse for not taking the trash out or putting that box of giveaway stuff into the car. You are literally ready for anything. Believe me, when you get that call from the school that your child needs you or that dear friend calls up and says that she needs to talk, can we have lunch? You are ready, including your shoes. And it's the same aspect here that Paul is saying with being prepared to share the gospel. We need to be ready at any time to be able to share the hope that lies within us. 1 Peter 3:15 says that. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Sanctify means set him apart in your heart. And always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks the reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Jesus himself says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, the Holy Spirit. And Romans 10:15 says this, how shall they preach unless they are sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. We should always be ready to share the gospel with others. That's part of our armor as Christians, is to be ready. And if you're here this morning and you say, you know, if I saw somebody that I felt like needed to hear the gospel, I don't know what I would say to them. And I would say that this is an important part for you to work on in your Christian armor, is get ready Be ready at any time. Have tracts with you. We have some Gospels of John's that you can take with you. Take those with you and be ready at any time to be able to share that hope that you have. The next thing we have, the next weapon that we have, or the next part of our armor, is the shield of faith. And a great theologian named Michael Jordan Boyle said to me once, faith doesn't make it easy, it just makes it possible. Is that what you said? That's very good. Psalm 91, 2 through 6 says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. See, the psalmist is saying, God, I will trust you. Surely God will deliver me. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by the day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. You see, we don't have to be afraid of the attacks that the devil will place on us, because we have a shield of faith. We believe strongly that God is more powerful than the devil. Romans 4 talks about Abraham. It says, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in his faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform. That is the shield of faith. He was fully convinced. He was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to do. And when we get to that point in our lives where, come what may, hell or high water, it doesn't matter. Because I have a God who is greater. My God is greater. My God is more powerful. And it doesn't matter what comes into my life. He will protect me. He will do what he has promised. And he is able to perform that. When we get to that point in our spiritual lives, we have the shield of faith. Acts 14:22 says, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. Jesus himself said that in this world you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. We can be of good cheer. We can be happy even when we're going through struggles, because we have a shield of faith. Now, a shield, there's really two aspects of that. One is this little metal thing that I can put up, right? And any arrows that come, it'll hit that and it'll fall down. But there's also another aspect of shielding in the sense of like a zone, if you will, of when everything else is falling down around you, you have a shield around you. You're shielded from what is going on. And God says that He will shield us when we're going through those times. 1 Timothy 1:18 and 19 says, this charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, having faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected, concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck. He's saying some people, their faith wasn't strong enough. They dropped their guard. You know, it's interesting that Paul used a shield to talk about faith, because the shield only works when you're holding it up, right? You drop that shield, those arrows aren't going to fall anymore. They're going to hit you. And if we drop our faith, if we stop believing and trusting in God, bad things will come. But he says, hold strong, having faith and a good conscience, which is talking about our righteousness, that we're doing good things. We're not sinning, continually sinning. He says, some have rejected, and concerning their faith, they have been shipwrecked. So we must hold strong to the shield of faith. Next we have the helmet of salvation. And of course, that is so important, because that is really where it all starts. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5, "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." You know, the head, we think about the head, that's where knowledge and wisdom occur. We also see that there's structure there. We've just been talking in Ephesians about Christ is the head of the church, the man is the head of the body. So we understand that when we put on the helmet of salvation, we are protected because we are taking Christ on as our head. We are serving Him now. In 2 Corinthians 2:10 says, "For though we walk in flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." So the helmet of salvation is not just something where we've been saved from our past sin, but it's something also including sanctification, where we're working to make every single act and every single thought in obedience to Christ. Everything in our lives, including what starts right here, is in obedience to Christ. And lastly, we have the sword of the Spirit, and that is the Word of God. It says in Psalms 149, "For the Lord takes pleasure in His people. He will beautify the humble with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory, and let them sing aloud on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand." It's kind of a weird picture. It's one of joy, beauty, and then you have a two-edged sword in your hand. That two-edged sword is the Word of God. And God says He takes pleasure in His people who have the Word of God in their hands. Always reading it, always studying it, ready to use it as a weapon. You know, you think about our spiritual warfare. We're in it. Christ is coming at us. Satan is coming at us and attacking us. Christ is there defending us. But let me ask you a question. If you're going into surgery and you have 5 bypasses that need to be done on your heart, are you looking for the guy that's got a little experience under his belt, has used his tool a number of times? Or are you looking the guy that, he's just practicing, he's just still in school and he doesn't really know what he's doing? He's got the idea, but he didn't never use the tool before, at least not on a real person. Do you want to be the first for him? Or do you want to go to the guy that's done it a number of times, had a lot of success? Who do you want to trust with your life? And the same comes down to our spiritual warfare. We need to be ready. We need to have studied God's Word so that when Satan attacks us, we can stand strong. Christ, when He was in the desert, Satan attacked Him. It tempted Him 3 times. And every single time, Jesus said, "Hold on a second. Let me pull out the internet and I can Google these different verses, so I can look up and see how I should answer you." Exactly. He didn't do that. He didn't pull out his Bible dictionary. Christ said, He answered with God's Word. But so often, we are so dependent on other things. We don't memorize God's Word anymore. We don't put it in our hearts. We don't wield our weapon and practice so that way when Satan attacks us, we're ready to stand strong. Hebrews 4:12 says, "The word of God is living and powerful, and it is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." A tool so powerful it penetrates even to your mind. A weapon very powerful. We must practice. We must be ready to use it. Or surely we will fall, and fall quickly. Last point. This is the question I always ask when we're going into battle, is, will we get any help? And certainly we will. Paul says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Paul is saying that we need to pray for one another. That is our help, is that we have other people that we're living life with, and they are praying for us. James says that the fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, accomplishes much. That when we pray for each other, the Spirit is quickened and it ministers to us, but it also acts on our behalf. He also says, "Pray for me. Pray for me, because I have an important mission. I must speak boldly to others around us." He's talking about he's in prison here. And we must do the same thing. But I ask that you would pray for me as your pastor, that I may speak boldly and that I might make known the gospel to our community. We need to pray for others. Matthew 26:41 says, "Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Our flesh is so weak. So I encourage you to continue. You know, Sunday mornings we get together and we pray for each other. And a lot of times we pray for our infirmities, which is a good thing. And God wants us to do that. But we also must pray for our spiritual well-being as well. We must pray for each other that we would stand strong when the devil tempts us. Psalms 34:17 says, "The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles." I pray that you would be crying out to God on a regular basis. The last help and the biggest help is the Spirit. The Spirit helps us. Zechariah 4:6 says, "Not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit." The true power that we have in the gospel comes to us through the Spirit of God. Psalms 18 says, "It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of deer and sets me on a high place. And he teaches my hands to make war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. He has also given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness has made me great." What a perfect image of how God strengthens us and readies us, prepares us for the temptations and the war that's coming to us. Deuteronomy 20, verses 3 and 4, and this is, close with this. "He shall say to them, 'Hear, O Israel, today you are on the verge of battle with your enemies. Do not let your heart faint. Do not be afraid. Do not tremble or be terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you." You will not fight your battles alone. You have God to help you. So stand strong. Don't get discouraged. Don't be afraid of what's going on in your life. Don't fear. Don't have anxiety. Have trust. Have strength in God and the Spirit of the Lord. He will make you strong and He will save you. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, as we think of this book of Ephesians that we've studied, we've spent a lot of time in, Lord, we understand that You have died to make us right with You. We have a relationship with You. We have right standing. We have been brought in to the family of God because of what You've done. And Lord, we have a lot of different things that we need to work in our lives to make our lives more in line with Yours, to make our hearts in line with Yours. And Lord, one of those things that we need to do, the first step is to put on the armor of God, to stop lying, to stop deceiving others and deceiving ourselves, but to be truthful in all things. Lord, we need to be strong in holding on to the shield of faith. We need to put on righteousness, Your righteousness that You freely gave to us. We need to be ready to share the gospel with others. We need to use that sword that You've given us, which is the Word of God. It's so powerful, but so many times it sits on the shelf. When we need a powerful weapon, Lord, it sits on the shelf, never used. Lord, I pray that You would just convict us of how we need to live our lives. And we learned in Sunday school that nothing else matters in this world but You. Lord, help us to think about and ponder on that this week. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.